Hello and welcome to Filmstalker Film Club. It's just not long after the BAFTAs. I can't even tell you how many days it is after the BAFTAs. It was all a bit of a blur, actually, that whole night. I think it was 6 hours of live blogging, if I'm right in saying that. My fingers really felt it the next day, I'll tell you. Anyway, we're here to discuss the winners and the losers of some of the categories of the BAFTAs. So, guys, I know that you are following the live chat at the time. What do you think of the BAFTAs?
Unsurprising, I think, sums it up for me. I thought it was, I watched it on the TV afterwards, so I could actually kind of see what it was about. And I thought the winners were fairly predictable, apart from, you know, the little success of the Social Network in a couple of areas. I quite enjoyed it. You know, I think it's a lot more authentic than the Oscars, and I think the way that it's kind of run makes sure that it is authentic and it retains that. And I think that's why, you know, we got some quite big stars over to it from the US and stuff. So, yeah, it was all right.
Stephen, what do you think?
Well, I didn't watch the BAFTAs. I avoid awards like the plague. So this was really the first time I'd ever paid attention to an awards. I mean, and only then because of the live chat. And the live chat did make it interesting. And it was good to see the winners coming out well ahead of what was on the telly as well. So I enjoyed the BAFTAs, but mainly because of the live chat. I mean, awards are awards, and I don't really care for them.
So you don't really follow any award ceremonies, then, Stephen? They don't tickle your boat?
No.
But Mark, you obviously do, then.
Yeah, I do.
Which ones do you follow? Do you put any pay into them? Do you put any weight into any of them?
You know, I'll always, out of principle, go and see the best movie at the Oscars and stuff like that, and have done since Silence of the Lambs won it. And I've always had a little punt on the Oscars every year for about the past 10 or 15 years. You know, just a couple of quid here, a couple of quid there. And it's always good fun to do that because, you invest a little bit more into it then. And apart from that, there's a couple of indie ones in the US that I follow as well, just to find out what's going on in US indie cinema. Especially the Independent Spirit Awards, I think they're pretty good because you always get a good mix of movies coming out of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm quite a big fan of the awards in general.
What about BAFTAs v Oscars? Because they are the two big ones.
Yeah, I think the BAFTAs, for me, just pit the Oscars because, we've talked about this before on the audio cast. And sometimes at the Oscars, it's a case of, it's such and such is time to win, so we'll give them the award, where the BAFTAs don't tend to do that.
Yeah, although a little of that crept in this year, I think. But no, you're right, they tend to go for that year, and what's actually, I find, is what's deserving. It's not very often it's box office success or anything, whereas the Oscars tend to be the opposite way around, I think. So yeah, I much prefer the BAFTAs, and I'm not just saying that because I get to go to the red carpet. So let's go through the awards and let's see what we thought of the winners and the losers. We'll work our way through the back end, if you'd like. And we're kicking off with the Orange Wednesday's Rising Star Award, which I found a little bit confusing this year because we had some new stars. We had Emma Stone, we had Aaron Johnson, there's Andrew Garfield, and then Gem Arterton, been around a little bit longer, and then Tom Hardy. He'd been around a hell of a lot longer. And they were all up for a Rising Star Award. And apparently the reason is that it's not the Rising Star as in the newbie. It's a Rising Star as in someone whose career has just taken a huge upturn.
Which, in a way, is this is going to be a best film, so because this guy's not had a sniffing in a best film before. That's how it felt to me when I found out who'd won. I mean, he'd been in a lot of films in the past, but he's now in a good film. He's not in a good film because of him. Yeah, he's the only Rising Star. Do you know what I mean? That's
awesome. Yeah. I think there might be a little bit of that, although I think Bronson turned him around quite a bit and suddenly everyone realised what a great actor he actually was. That really got him a lot of exposure.
So you don't think it was because of Inception?
No, I don't think so. I think, obviously that had a great deal to do with it, but he played a small part in that. I think that's what's happened because of his breakthrough. Mind you, when was Bronson?
It must have been about 2006, 2007, surely.
Actually, we haven't actually said that Tom Hardy won this award.
Yeah, true. It's 2008.
Okay, 2008. That is quite a ways away. It's quite surprising. So what's he done since that would have... I'm just going to have a wee look.
He went from Bronson, did a short, and then did some TV work. Did The Take and Wuthering Heights, and then Inception was his next role. But if you kind of scoop back through some of his other roles, he's been in some pretty big stuff. You know, he did Star Trek Nemesis, he did Layer Cake, and his second role was Black Hawk Down.
Hmm.
So he's been kicking around for a while. Maybe it's just he was just on the cusp of that big breakthrough role.
Yeah. And was that Inception? I don't know, because if you think about it, then if you're looking at this, he's only actually done one film, one feature, in between Bronson and Inception, called The Code, which I've not actually... No. Oh, I was going to say I've not heard of. It's also called Thick as Thieves. It's directed by Mimi Leda, and it stars Morgan Freeman and Antonio Banderas. So that was a bit of a down, I think. Yeah, I think Inception, isn't that the mark that he's there, rather than the one that's done it?
No, I think Bronson was the one for me. I mean, that was certainly the one where people had said, oh, go and check Bronson out. There's this amazing actor in it. It can't be.
And according to the blurb, this is acknowledges new talent in the acting industry. And my problem with this award was that Hayley Steinfeld wasn't even... She was up for Best Actress. She's 14, and yet she doesn't get a mention for Rising Star.
Yeah,
but it's good that Tom Hardy's getting recognition. I mean, I'm not knocking him for that. I just think that it was a wrong award for him.
Hmm. Yeah, and he wouldn't have fitted any other category this year, would he? I actually think that if Bronson was back in 2008, that's when he should have got the nomination for it. But Gemma Arterton, she's had a similar film, The Disappearance of Alice Creed.
Yeah.
And that's really made people wake up and say, wait a minute, look, there's something really, really different to this woman. And she can act as well.
Yeah, but she's established, the same as Tom Hardy is. I mean, out of that field, looking at it, the Rising Award should really go to Andrew Garfield. Because it has been his year. He's the one that's kind of come in and done Social Network, and now he's poised for, you know, a huge role in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, but if you look at what Gemma Arterton's done in the past, she's had some little bit parts. Okay, she appeared in Quantum of Solace for a bit, The Boat That Rocked for a bit.
She's done two St. Trinian's films, which were both pretty successful for various reasons.
Yeah. Clash of the Titans, Prince of Persia, but the two big roles of Tamara Drew just now and The Disappearance of Alice Creed, which was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to say now, I could say after every category we talk about, but, and this is one of the things that's wrong with Ward, as worthy as he is, there's 10 others that could have won it and it still would have been fine.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's got the award, and for something he probably did 3 years ago, and he's now won it because of a film that was well-liked by a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, I started thinking... I mean, I was all for Tom Hardy winning this, and now I'm thinking, you know, you're right. Maybe these two should have won it. Like, Arterton should have won it back in, 2009. Hardy should have won it back in 2008. And maybe you're right, Andrew Garfield should have won this year.
Yeah.
Let's move on to another totally non-controversial topic. Let's look at special visual effects. Just run through what was in there. We've got Inception, Alice in Wonderland, Black Swan, Harry Potter and Deathly Boring Long Silence Film Hallows Part 1 and Toy Story 3.
So, I'll kick this one off by saying, what the hell is Toy Story 3 doing in there? Because it's an animation. So surely, it's just one big special effect. I just don't get it. It's just out of place. I mean, it's an amazing film.
I think Toy Story 3, because there's not a lot of places they can put it, so it can't win Best Actor, it can't win Best Actress. It deserves more than just being put in the Best Animated Film. So I think they put it in there just because it deserves more nominations.
Yeah, and are the effects streets ahead from Toy Story 2?
It was in 3D. I mean, I didn't see it in 3D.
I saw it in 2D, and surely, from what you just said there, surely it should be in the Best Film category.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I agree with that.
I totally agree.
And I think that's probably why it's in this category.
Yeah, maybe you're right. And I don't think it should be in special visual effects at all, unless... And this is the problem I have with franchises and sequels, is that if they're saying Toy Story 3 should have been in here, was Toy Story 2 and Toy Story nominated for special visual effects?
No, it wasn't, was it?
No, so... You know, and it's not... They've made advances, but it's not streets ahead from Toy Story 2. Yeah, I don't think it belonged here.
I was just I think the winner, which we haven't mentioned again, Inception, was worthy of the award.
Yay! Stephen likes something.
Well, no, I think that Inception should have won the award. I think the award should be taken to What We Can Do With a Couple of Billion award, but... Inception was a worthy winner for me.
No, I think it was deserving. I don't... So, you know, one of the reasons why I don't think Black Swan won, because there are some amazing special effects in it, but they're also very subtle. There's a lot of work to take out cameramen, for example, while they're spinning around and there's mirrors there. There's the big final scene, which is obvious, but there's a lot of subtle stuff that's done to integrate it with reality that you just don't notice. And I don't think that's very visual for people. Editing. Which I think I should have edited out, but we're going to quickly talk about that. Because I don't think we're going to have anything to say about it. King's Speech, even. Inception, Black Swan, 127 Hours, and The Social Network. And The Social Network won for editing.
I've not seen The Social Network. And I know I probably shouldn't do. And I don't even, it doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, well, you'll like it, but you won't rave about it.
Yeah, that's, you've summed it up for me. It was a good film, but it wasn't brilliant. And for editing-wise, surely, you know, the way that 127 Hours is structured, surely that should have won.
Yeah, I'd have said 127 Hours should have won.
Because it's brilliantly done.
From the nominations, and considering I've not seen Social Network, then yeah, I think 127 Hours should have won. It's edited really well. I know you have a bit of a problem with the way Boyle directs at times, Richard, but...
At times.
All the time.
All the time.
I just think he does it really well in this film.
Frantic, fast, loud. That's it. Has to be that. And for one person stuck in a place where he's reflecting his life, you know, it's frantic, fast, loud doesn't really work for me.
No, I think he edited. I think he did a great job with the trial. I was so surprised without going on talking about the film itself. I mean, I was surprised how well it was done. And I think that was because of the way it was edited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could maybe agree with you if I could have gotten past the bleeding ears and my frantic moving eyeballs. Right, let's move on to production design.
Was it just too much ice cream, Richard? Is that the problem?
Yeah. Production design, because one of you wanted to talk about production design. Let me just race through the nominees. Inception, Alice in Wonderland, Black Swan, The King's Speech, True Grit, and the winner was Inception.
Is it worth saying what production design is, first of all?
Yeah, go on.
No, that's <aspect.
laughs> Yeah, I mean, that was my trouble with this award. I mean, what is production design? Because, I mean, for me, I don't know. See, I don't know what it is, and that's the trouble. I'd have thought True Grit and The King's Speech because of the way it's set and the whole... I mean, there's an award for clothing as well, I suppose, isn't there? I just think True Grit, King's Speech, they've got an era to mirror and get looking right. And for me, that's where production design comes in. Whereas the winner, Inception, was the special effects that it had already won. I'm not sure where the production design is as special as its special effects were.
I think some of the sets for Inception were brilliant, though. I have to say. I mean, that first one with the water, I don't see how they could have done that digitally to that extent. And I thought it looked brilliant. And there's a couple of other ones in there as well.
Yeah, Stephen and I were talking about this earlier, and Stephen was going on about suggesting that it was mainly all CGI, but it wasn't. There were loads of practical aspects to that, to the film.
I think it's practical aspects to the CGI. So like where the Paris scene where the shop's blowing up, a lot of that isn't special effects yet. It's all, they filmed it normally, and then I think they had the special effects on, so... I don't think it's computer-generated, say, like Tron. And I still think there's a lot of computer work going on top of whatever they've done. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay, I'm trying to find production design award means.
It refers to the look and feel of an overall filmed event, such as TV programs, music, videos, or adverts.
So it's the whole shebang. It's makeup, costume, set.
I would still have probably wanted True Grit to have won that one.
You see, if I had to pick one of those, I mean, Inception undoubtedly was amazing looking, and I think the film's amazing, but it's The King's Speech, because the level of detail was just fantastic. I think, it's The King's Speech, definitely.
Yeah, I'd struggle. I haven't seen Alice in Wonderland, and I don't want to, but I can imagine. Sorry, I just hit my headset, scratched my head. I imagine that it's got some great production design in it. But again, a high level of CG. I don't know. I think this one's hard to call.
I mean, that's true even now. I mean, True Grit, there's a hanging scene in True Grit. It's shot really well because you see the entire body go, you know, like in the original, the shot around the park, and you don't see them hang properly.
Yeah.
You know that they've done something with a camera. Whereas with True Grit now, I mean, the special effects went on. Because they didn't hang three guys. So even with films that aren't taking a lot, I mean, I think all films now use a lot, for a bit of special effects.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to cinematography. The nominees are, am I just repeating myself here? True Grit, 127 Hours, Black Swan, Inception, The King's Speech. And I just have to say this, but Inception, the cinematography was done by Willy Pfister. I just love that. Cinematography. True Grit 1.
Oh, it looks beautiful. I mean, it's definitely a worthy winner. A lot of it reminded me of Assassination of Jesse James, which I also thought was fantastic looking.
Yeah, I've read that before, actually, about it. Yeah.
All right. And Roger Deakins never does a bad job.
It's a tricky one, this, because, I mean, 127 Hours I thought looked great, but most of it is consigned to, you know, a 12-foot by 2-foot gap.
And that's an indoor set as well.
It is, yeah, which I thought was... I didn't realise until I read some of the stuff afterwards about it being an indoor set, and that I thought was just amazingly, amazingly done. But I've got to go for The King's Speech, just because it felt like you were watching something shot in that era. And I think that's missing from a lot of modern films. I mean, you know, think that's the Merchant Ivory stuff and all the sets and stuff. You know, all very, very authentic. But it was a cinematography that let it down, whereas The King's Speech, I it felt like you were there as a fly on the wall because it felt dirty, it felt dusty.
Yeah. No, I see it. I mean, I think with The King's Speech, why I'd give it True Grit over The King's Speech is the majority of The King's Speech was probably filmed in three rooms. You know what I mean? There was no rolling landscapes. And
yeah.
And that really brings out the best in cinematography, to be honest, doesn't it? The huge landscapes and the epic scale. Okay. I'm prepared to accept True Grit. I haven't seen it, but yeah, I can imagine it would be a worthy winner because it's perfect for cinematography, isn't it? Okay, let's hit up some biggies. Supporting actress, Helena Bonham Carter. I always say that wrong unless I say it slowly. Amy Adams, Barbara Hershey, Leslie Manville, or Miranda Richardson. The winner was Helena Bonham Carter. However, I just recently seen The Fighter, and I thought Amy Adams was awesome in it.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because we've not all seen all the films on there. But you know what? Helena Bonham Carter was really good in The King's Speech, and she wasn't playing that kooky old woman that she normally plays.
Yeah. For Tim Burton, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
She looked different as well, if you know what
I mean. Yeah, I think she was a deserving winner. But again, I haven't seen The Fighter, and from what I've heard, Amy Adams is amazing in it.
I've not seen enough of these either to have a... I mean, Helena Bonham Carter was really good, wasn't it? I mean, this is another thing with awards that gets me, and I'm going to mention her again. Where's she gone? Hayley Steinfeld is up for Best Actress at the BAFTAs. Yeah, she's Best Supporting Actress in the Oscars.
Yeah, it's different ways they do it, though, isn't it? But we talked about this before as well. Didn't we talk about this in the BAFTAs themselves or something, in the BAFTA Live chat or something? I can't remember. But you said you understood why.
Me?
Yeah.
I understood why she was Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress.
Best Actress.
Oh, yeah, no, I think she should have been in the Leading Actress, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I don't know why the Oscars then have and I'm sure the Oscars have more in a category as well.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. She's the only actress in it, isn't she?
Yeah.
So she is the lead actress. Full stop.
We should still be a supporting actress. I mean, Helen Bonham Carter's the only actress in King's Speech as well. So it's, I don't know. I think lead. I don't think you have to have a lead actress and a lead actor in a film. So it could be said she was supporting Bridges.
But, yeah, I was going to say, but well, maybe that does work. I think because Helen Bonham Carter is not the lead character, whereas in this version of True Grit, Hayley is the lead character, isn't she?
No, see, I think that's a bit of colouring from the Coen brothers to get away from the John Wayne True Grit, because they've said that it's more on the boot than the film, but apart from the beginning and the very end, the films are pretty much similar. I mean, she's a younger girl than in the original film, so she plays a stronger role, but I don't think it's... I mean, it's told from her point of view, but you don't need to speak except from the beginning and the end.
All right. Oh, well. Well, that's out the window. I don't know them. Let's hit supporting actor. We've got Geoffrey Rush, Christian Bale, Andrew Garfield, Pete Postlethwaite, and Mark Ruffalo. And the winner was Geoffrey Rush for The King's Speech. Surprisingly, Christian Bale didn't get it. And I think his performance is excellent. Pete Postlethwaite is up because he's died and it's his last role.
I think that's a tad harsh.
I think it's probably true, though.
I think it's true, yeah. Is that his best role he's ever played?
But hang on. Had he died when they announced the nominations?
Good question, but I think so, yes.
Really? I'm not sure that he had, you know.
Okay, I'm going to have a look.
You prove me wrong, but what I will say is, I mean, have you seen The King's Speech, Richard?
No.
I think once you'd seen it, you'd probably agree with the winner being Geoffrey Rush, because he's far better, I thought, than Colin Firth in the film.
Hmm.
And that was the one award of the night when I was like, I just agree with that 100%.
16 days difference. He died 16 days before the nominations.
Oh, really? Oh, so maybe then, yeah.
And the reason I say that is because there's so, he plays a good role, but there's so much more to the town. So much more of significance. And it's not being mentioned anywhere. BAFTAs, I don't think he's even mentioned the Oscars. I think that's wrong. Anyway, doesn't matter, he didn't win.
Yeah, true.
I completely agree with Mark. I mean, everybody I see, Rush should be winning Best Actor. I think he was forgotten a little bit because of Colin Firth, and Colin Firth being British and it being the Brits, not the Brits, the BAFTAs. And you went eventually. Because it's been the BAFTAs and it's... I just think Geoffrey Rush was fantastic in King's Speech. I think all Colin Firth's great lines and great scenes were because of the way they interacted together. I think it was called The King's Speech, so I'm going to give it to the King, but... Yeah, I mean, once I saw him, I should have put money on Geoffrey Rush because it would have been a scandal had he not won.
Okay, leading actress was Hayley Steinfeld. Noomi Rapace. Yeah, he's complaining. That's good for her. Julianne Moore, Annette Bening, or the winner was Natalie Portman from Black Swan, and I don't think anyone can argue with that at all.
No, I can.
Yeah, actually, Stephen, you could argue. You really could argue with it.
Hayley Steinfeld again. I know I keep bringing her up, but she was fantastic. I mean,
have you seen Black Swan?
No. Okay. And that's why awards are rubbish.
No, but the people who vote for the awards see all the films.
Yeah, so they say.
Well, they get the opportunity to anyway. Yeah. Deliver to them free of charge.
Have you seen True Grit?
No, I haven't, but then I wasn't voting in the awards.
No, but you said Natalie Portman, and I said Hayley Steinfeld.
Okay, that's true. That's true, yes.
She's 14. It's her first film. She is working with two big names, and she just does a fantastic... She doesn't go wrong once. I mean... It really is, especially for a 14-year-old. Fantastic. And it's a strong performance as well.
Well, I have to say, Mark, have you seen True Grit yet?
No, I've not. But saying that, I've not seen Black Swan either. But what I will say is, kind of all the articles and stuff I've read about Black Swan, they say, you know, that it is a great film and Pullman puts in a great performance. But it's the other stuff. It's that commitment to the role, because she worked for over a year, didn't she?
Yeah.
Getting into shape for the ballet and stuff like that. And fair enough then. Because if you're able to do that and then put in a great performance, I think it is well deserved. And that's as much as I could say without, you know, making an ass of myself because I've not seen the film.
Mark, you never make an ass of yourself.
Thanks. Can you write that down so I can show it at work?
Leading actor. Javier Bardem. Jeff Bridges. Jesse Eisenberg. I don't know why I've got this. James Franco. And Colin Firth. Winner was, of course, Colin Firth.
I'd seen four of these five films, and all four were really good. In a way, I was rooting for Javier Bardem, purely because I knew Colin Firth was going to win everything.
I don't think it was a foregone conclusion.
You know?
I think it's how it came out, but you look at those. This goes back to what I said earlier. I don't think the BAFTAs are overly biased. I think they are biased sometimes, but they don't go out of their way, like some other award ceremonies, to make a point of letting something win. And I think over the time I followed the BAFTAs, they've been pretty honest.
I mean, looking at that list now, I mean, I don't think Jeff Bridges should have been on it. There's nothing wrong with his role. It's just not a best acting role.
But can I add to that, Stephen? I was a betting man, I would bet that he wins the Oscar.
Yeah.
The best
actor. Yeah, well, I mean, I know they probably say mumblings. He mumbles a lot, and that's him. I think
that's acting.
Yeah, no, it's because the girl has such a clear, it's almost how you imagine 19th century preachers would talk. She has that kind of delivery of her speech, and to show that he's the guy with true grit, he groans and mumbles. He sounds, you know, the way they have with tough guys these days, they all seem to say grumble a bit, so we have to really pay attention.
It's to show they're mean and moody.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted Bardem, because Bardem does a really good job in Beautiful. It's not an easy role for a player. But yeah, I was happy that Colin Firth won.
I think, Mark, you're right. I think Bridges will get it. I mean, Eisenberg will be a close second for it, but yeah.
Who else is up?
You what?
Who else is up for best actor in Austin?
I think the only other contender for the BAFTAs.
It's the same list.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I actually thought that James Franco was going to do it instead of Colin Firth. But obviously Colin Firth won. And again, you know, it's a great part, but as Stephen said, very predictable.
I think James Franco gets drowned out by Danny Boyle in that film, unfortunately.
No, I don't think he has the...
doesn't have the ability to rise above Danny Boyle.
I thought he was great. You know, it's one of those roles that's mainly focused on one person. And I thought the journey he went on was superb. You know, he portrayed the emotion and the loneliness and the despair and the cutting of the arm, et cetera, really well.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with 127 hours. Although I could see, given more focus, his performance would have been really good. There was a couple of times where I could see it coming through. But, yeah, I think it was drained out for me. Animated film. How to Train Your Dragon. Despicable Me. And Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3 won. Unsurprisingly, I think. Not a wide field for animated film this year. I think How to Train Your Dragon was very good. I really enjoyed that. I was surprised how good it was. I didn't get to see Despicable Me.
It's good. It's really funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
But I, as an all-round film, Toy Story 3 is just fantastic.
Yeah. There should have only been one film in that category, and it is Toy Story 3.
You just stole my joke. I was going to say I was disappointed with this category, and then I was going to say because it should have just been Toy Story 3. It should have been a Toy Story animated film award.
Yeah.
If they could do it for, what was it, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we'll come to that in a second, but there's a reason for that one. But I do think we've come to the time where we need a franchise or a franchise sequel award, something like that.
But is Toy Story 3 a franchise? I mean, but there's three films, but that's it, and they're done. They're finished.
Yeah, I'd say that's three. Trilogy, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. It's
Is The Godfather a franchise?
Yes.
Oh, smart ass.
I think there's a difference between a franchise and a trilogy. I think franchises are a lot of, like Alien and Predator. Franchises are more like, it says like a McDonald's, it's something that they've got, they can make money on it, they don't really need to think about what they're going to do.
Wow, you're reading way more into it than I was.
Reevaluate for a franchise.
I was just thinking a collection of films.
Yeah, but then you've got certain directors who make fuller films that to them are a collection of films as well. Ari Roma often did sets of films that you would never call them a franchise or a trilogy, yet they all had a similar theme.
Yeah, well, obviously that wouldn't qualify for the award. But stuff like, well, Harry Potter would, Toy Story would. Yeah, Alien would. I think it's becoming more and more the norm to sequel or to have multiple sequels. In that case, then we should have an award for sequels, stroke multiple sequels, let's say. Whatever you want to call it. There's not a collective word for it, really. The sequelization award.
No. That's all, because I think Stephen's on the right track, I've got to say. But how on earth you would manage to split that out in the awards category, I've got no idea. So how you would keep the franchise separate from, you know, the trilogy of films?
I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about one award to recognise films such as Toy Story, the encompassing series of films Toy Story, or the encompassing series of films Lord of the Rings, or the encompassing series of films Harry Potter, instead of putting them into these yearly award brackets and then giving them an award for the entirety of the films instead of just the one. Maybe Toy Story isn't the best example of this, but Lord of the Rings would be.
Are you saying it's currently an arbitrary thing where they just decide this is the film we're going to celebrate?
No, where they go, this is the last one in the series, or could be the last one in the series. Let's give it an award to recognise that. Oh, we don't have anything. Let's just push it into best film or whatever.
Yeah, but
because Lord of the Rings, the third one, won loads of awards. The rest didn't.
But it was a damn fine film.
It was, but were the others way not deserving?
Well, maybe the others have better films out around them as well. So you might have one, you might have two really good films that are out in a year where there's 10 other fantastic films. The third one may be released during a
perhaps.
Month.
Perhaps, but I don't see. I see this happening quite a few times, and I'm not convinced. It seems to be. Here we are, we're at the end of the series, let's just fit them into category. Let's just give them an award so they've got something.
But does that often happen often, or is it just the Lord of the Rings?
No, I haven't done my research to be able to give you the stats on all the sequels and the franchises, I'm afraid. Well, Toy Story 3, there you go. Toy Story and Toy Story 1, 2, did they win Best Animation?
I'm sure they won awards.
They won Best Animation. I'm not actually sure there's a Pixar film that hasn't won Best Animation. But I think, maybe apart from Wall-E, this is the first one that I think has a shot at Best Picture at the Oscars. Mm. And rightly so.
I think for Toy Story 3, yes.
I think I mentioned on BAFTA Night on the live chat, but did we not choose Toy Story 3 as the best film? Ourselves as well, when we did our end of year review.
We did.
And you know what? There in itself is a seal of quality.
Okay, let's move on. Film not in the English language, which I much prefer than a best foreign film.
Yeah, I think that's because of the whole, does True Grit then become best foreign film because it's the BAFTAs?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, well done, yeah.
Well, I wish people could see my smug face right now.
that's quite clever. I didn't think of that at all. So, cleverly, the BAFTAs have worded it so they don't have to include any American films.
Because, I mean, back in the 80s, one of my favourite films, Jean de Florette, won Best Film. at the BAFTAs. And he didn't win the best foreign language film, funnily enough. But you do get that with British films winning best film and not best British film.
Well, that's good. That's the way it should be. It's not best British film, it's best film, isn't it? Anyway, let's get back to this. The nominees were The Secret in Their Eyes, Of Gods and Men, I Am Love, Beautiful, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And the winner was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Now, I have only seen, I hate to say this, I've only seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But I thought it was one of the best thrillers I've seen in a long time. Actually, so I'm going to change that because I've seen The Town, and The Town was one of the best thrillers I've seen in a long time. It was up there anyway.
Yeah, it's a good film. I mean, that is the only one I've seen, and I guess we're going to have to keep this over to Stephen to talk about these ones. But the one that I've been trying to track down because I've heard such good things about it is Of Gods and Men, and I cannot find a cinema that's showing it anywhere. But yeah, I enjoyed The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But, can I ask a question? Wasn't it a made-for-TV movie?
No, the second one was, I think.
Right, okay, fair enough.
So, Stephen, you're going to tell us about this category then?
Where's it going?
I don't know, well, it's sitting in front of me.
I'd seen, the one I hadn't seen was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I don't know why. I picked I Am Love as one of my favourite films for last year. I didn't see Beautiful till a few weeks ago. I would probably still have given it to I Am Love. Of Gods and Men is a great film. I think the trouble is with this category, there's great, I'm sure there are great foreign thrillers out there. And they never see, you know, like, there's, the French are making films like True Grit. But we never hear, we always see, when it's a foreign film, it's always an art film. There's great British art films that we never see either. If you know what I mean by art film. All these, I mean, it's more of a foreign art film than a best foreign film. Well, they're all great. I haven't seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I would have given it to I Am Love.
Have you seen The Secret in Their Eyes?
No, is that the Argentinian one?
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's so hard to see these kind of films, like Mark said.
It is, it's very
And it's just cool. It's just as hard to see the British films that are like this as well. And I think that's, as good as all these films we're talking about are, they're all massive released films in big cinemas.
And you know what annoys me is that there was supposed to be a deal. I remember this a while ago. The government were helping Cinemaplexes. Where did I say that? they were helping them install digital equipment by giving them money, basically, in return for the deal that they would show more of the smaller films along with the big ones. And I've not really seen that come to fruition.
No, I mean, I think Edinburgh and Glasgow do show a few.
I mean, that's because we've got special cinemas, haven't we? We've got Film House and we've got the Cameo, and they're fantastic for doing that. But to be fair, Cineworld show a lot of Indian films, don't they? A lot of Bollywood films.
Yeah.
But that's it.
The one in Glasgow shows a lot of opera as well.
Ah. Well, I don't know what to say to that. That's quite cool.
I think the true, I mean, it's all about getting people in. And even the Film House, I mean, the Film House showed The King's Speech for 3 weeks, and it should have gone to screen 2 after the first week. And I was going to watch a film on Cinema 1, and they moved King's Speech back to Cinema 1. And you can't blame them, because it's not often a film like that will come along for a small independent cinema.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next category, Adapted Screenplay. Sorry? We had The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Toy Story 3, True Grit, 127 Hours, and The Social Network, and The Social Network 1. I think just out of... Now, here's where I'm gonna cite something that Kermode said, and I totally agree with him. This was a really cool quote, if I can remember it correctly. He said... The Social Network is basically a film about two guys sitting down arguing about corporate law. Or a bunch of guys arguing about corporate law. And yet they've made it sexy and exciting and interesting. And you've got to agree with that. That's what they've done. It's a very clever script for that, I'd say.
Yeah.
What is an adapted screenplay?
Screenplay adapted from something else.
So what was Toy Story 3 adapted from? Toy Story 2?
For those of us, Toy Story 3 was nominated as adapted screenplay because it's a sequel with existing characters, which that came from Lee Ulrich, who was the director.
I just saw that on his Twitter.
Yeah.
That's That's rubbish. Seen lately.
Well, yes. I'll email him and let him know.
Well, please do. Next time you're having tea with him, just bring that up over crumpets. That's not adapted.
I don't get that at all. That makes no sense.
No, it's not adapted at all. That's just...
embellished.
Another screenplay. Just take the characters from the previous one. You don't have to adapt anything.
What about the girl with the dragon tattoo then being in there?
Well, that's adapted from a book.
Yeah, I get that.
127 hours, that's adapted from a book as well, isn't it? True Grit, adapted from a book. Social Network, that's adapted from a book as well.
Do you not need to have known the book to have known whether they've done a good adaptation?
Yeah, that's a good, interesting point. I wonder if they have to read the book and watch the film and then vote. I would say you would have to, wouldn't you? You would have to know if
they... just like to separate it so it's an extra award. It should just be a screenplay.
In fact, actually, so looking at that, just listening to what you just said, Stephen, and then looking at the title of adapted screenplay, it's not adapted screenplay. It's best film was adapted into a screenplay. It's a subtle difference. They're not doing they're not doing the comparison between book and film. They're saying, yeah, that is the best adaptation. They're just saying which is the best film that happens to be from an adapted screenplay.
Right, I get you.
Ah, right, that makes sense. And what one?
The Social Network.
Yeah, it should have been Toy Story 3 then.
But it's not an adapted screenplay.
But it's in the category.
Okay, but it shouldn't have been in the category. It should have been in the category of original screenplay. And it would have been up against, which is a clever move forward, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, and The King's Speech. The winner of which was The King's Speech.
It's wrong.
Well... Toy Story 3 should have been in there for a start, but
yeah.
What do you think should have won original screenplay?
The King's Speech, I think.
Wait a minute. So now I am confused then. Why is The Fighter an original screenplay? Oh, because it won't have been adapted from a book. It'll just been taken from the guy's true real life story. Which, why wouldn't it be adapted? Shouldn't original screenplay be from an original idea?
What game? Think.
Well, Fighter isn't.
But neither is The King's Speech.
Exactly. I don't know them. So, sorry, what did you think it should have been, Mark?
Did the guy who wrote the screenplay for King's Speech also write the book? Hence it being original.
But that would make a difference. He's still adapting it from his own book, isn't he?
If that were the case.
For me, original screenplay should be, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's write a story about it. Boom. There's your screenplay. Adapted screenplay is, I've just read this great thing, or I've just looked at this great thing. I'm going to change that and make it into a screenplay.
Yeah. I kind of feel like a dog that's been shown a card trick.
What, you're hungry?
No.
You need to go for
a... I'm that confused that I just, you know, I can't distinguish between original and adapted anymore. It should just be best screenplay, surely.
Well, I think in this case, what we're showing is clearly there's a complete muddle between them. I can see the point for having the two categories if they stuck to those criteria, but they're not, are they?
No.
So it should just be one.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Mark, what did you say? You're going to say what should have won.
I think the King's Speech was brilliantly done. I thought that was a worthy winner. I will say this about Inception. I mean, I didn't rate the film that highly, as you'll know from the other film sort of podcast we did about the best films of 2010. But to come up with an idea like that from nowhere, you know, Christopher Nolan is either warped or a genius or a warped genius. So kudos to Christopher Nolan. I thought it was a great concept, although I didn't think the delivery was fantastic.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think the ideas in that. Did you agree, Stephen?
I concur completely with what Matt just said, yeah.
Wow.
Including the bit about it being a bit of a duffer as far as the film went.
Well, I don't agree with that bit, but I do agree with the script, with the screenplay. I mean, it's an amazing idea. Not just that, the ideas within the ideas are just fantastic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I think that's what swept some people away, that they're starting to think it's better than it is. As a film, because of the way I just don't think it was executed brilliantly. But that's another podcast.
It is, and I think one that we will keep coming back to until we die.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, director. We have The King's Speech, Tom Hooper, Inception, Christopher Nolan, Black Swan, Darren Aronofsky, 127 Hours, Danny Boyle. Sorry, it should be 127 Hours, Danny Boyle! Winner was The Social Network, David Fincher.
I'm going to say something about this and then withdraw and let you two batter this one out. It's The Social Network isn't even David Fincher's best film. So I just don't get how he can win Best Director.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's good, it's well directed, but, you know, pitching against, and I will even say this, pitching against 127 Hours, that shows much more directorial grit than The Social Network.
Mm.
Although I don't think it's the best in the category, I think it was up between Black Swan and Inception for me.
I'd say with 27 Hours, for what you've said, I think The King's Speech was a better film, but I would have said Danny Boyle, for me, would have got Best Director. And he did things I don't even like in films. The use of this noise with when he was cutting the nerve. I hate that kind of noise in films that, you know, if they can't make you jump with what they're filming, then I think it's cheating with the sound. But people seem to love that. And because of that, I think that's why he should win. He should have won Best Director, for me.
I must make a mental note that if I chuck everything I can into a film, no matter if it's appropriate or not, I'll win Stephen's vote.
No, because the thing is directing the film, and we're going off what's on that list of five.
I think it should have been Inception or Black Swan, and I think Black Swan would have won it because I just loved some of the subtlety of that and some of the way the performances on stage were filmed, and particularly in the last performance where the camera's flitting in and out of the wings of the stage. It's really good. Really liked it. Okay, so but we're all agreed The Social Network shouldn't have won that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm picking a Boyle just to defend myself, saying I don't like what he does. He still won off those five. I mean, I'd have given it to the guy that did Beautiful had I been able to just pick somebody else. But those five.
Okay. Oh, Stephen. Outstanding debut by a British writer, director, or producer. We had Nick Whitfield, director and writer of Skeletons, Gareth Edwards, director and writer of Monsters, Banksy and Jamie DeCruz, director, producer of Exit to the Gift Shop, Cleo Barnard and Tricia Reardon, director, producer of The Arbor, and the winner, Chris Morris, director, writer of Four Lions.
Have any of us seen any of these apart from Four Lions?
Yeah.
I've seen Monsters.
I've seen Monsters and Exit Through the Gift Shop.
What do you think of Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Yeah, it was good. Really enjoyed it.
All right.
Yeah, it's a strong documentary, is what I would put it down as. I thought it was him in the shot, but I think Gareth Edwards' Monsters is without a doubt amazing.
Mm.
But as a film, I think giving it to Chris Morris was absolutely the right move for Four Lions. I thought it was just genius.
I think what he's done with that is extremely clever.
And I think the way he funded it as well, and the way, the way it was done, undoubtedly it's a great film.
I think to manage to film such a subject in the way he did as well, and to get the funding, but to get anybody involved in it, must have been such an uphill struggle. Although, to be fair, with Chris Morris involved, a lot of people would just say yes, regardless, I would say. And for the right reasons. But I'd agree. Great job. Monsters is very close, though. I think that's fantastic. And I just discovered recently that he'd done all the CG on his home computer.
Yeah.
Once he finished the film. That's just amazing. So, Stephen, you didn't see any of these, did you?
No.
Go and see Four Lions. Go and get Four Lions and go and see it.
I'm in shame.
I think you'll like Four Lions.
I've heard that's the is that the from Blackburn?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Let's hit up Outstanding British Film. We had Maiden Dagenham, which I think was just put in there to fill up the numbers. No offence. But it doesn't match up to Four Lions, Another Year, 127 hours. Well, maybe that was put in as well. And The King's Speech, which won.
Uh-huh.
I think I would agree.
Yeah.
Because I think in something like this, outstanding British film, you've got to take into account the effect it has outside Britain. And possibly this is the one award where you start to think about box office.
Yeah, there is that. There's also, I mean, all the stuff I've read about it, it's engaging audiences everywhere. You know, there's this whole thing, isn't there, about it getting a standing ovation and people clapping and cheering in the cinema, which I must admit I didn't see when I saw it, but...
That doesn't happen in British cinemas.
No, but it's happening in Japan, it's happening in America, and that's the mark of a great film. And it deservedly would.
Yeah.
You know.
And it transcends what the film is about and where it's placed. It's a uniquely British film, but actually it's about something much bigger, and that's why it's been a big success, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stephen, nothing to say?
No, well, The King's Speech, for all those reasons. I mean, I've not seen Another Year by Mike Leigh, and I always liked Mike Leigh films, and then I saw Happy Go Lucky, and I thought, I'm not watching your next film. Happy Go Lucky was awful.
Okay.
I've been wanting to mention Happy Go Lucky being awful for you, and now I've got an opportunity. It's a shock of a film.
Oh, you must feel good.
And the amount of praise it got. And Adrian, have you seen it?
No.
It's not happy. It just drives you mad. You just want to slap her.
All right, let's go into the last award. Best film overall. We had True Grit, The Social Network, Inception, Black Swan, and The King's Speech. And the winner was The King's Speech. I don't know.
I know what you mean. It's hard to pick, and I think this is one of the problems out of the world. It's all there just to slap everybody on the back.
Well, I wasn't going to just go for the juggler and rip it apart. I was actually maybe just going to suggest that there are some really good films there in some completely different genres. No, not genres. Completely different areas, completely different styles that are very difficult to pitch against each other.
I was happy that it won. I thought it would win. I didn't mind that it won.
I'd go with that. And
those five definitely was the best film.
I would have felt the same about Black Swan or Inception getting there, I think. Yeah, I would have. Mark's still been silent.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the field and the results here, and I don't know. I mean, The King's Speech is brilliant. Didn't think much of Inception. Thought Social Network was okay. Do these five films really represent the best films of the past year?
Is that why the Oscars have gone for 10?
Yeah, I think it must be.
Also,
So the Oscars have gone for Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, Winter's Bone. Now, Winter's Bone is a great film, but what the hell are the Oscars doing putting it in Best Picture? That's bizarre. Toy Story 3 is good that's in there, but the rest of them are... Oh, it's the films you're seeing in all the other categories. It's not. I still don't think that's representative. And I don't think it's about numbers, is it, Mark?
No, I don't think so. And, the point you raise about Winter's Bone, I think, is justified. But it is one of the best films I've seen in the past 12 months.
No, I agree. What I'm saying is it looks totally out of place for the Oscars to have it there.
But maybe that's what the Oscars needs, is to bring, those smaller films to the mainstream. Maybe maybe it is about bringing that talent across. I don't know. But I'd rather watch, Winter's Bone 10 times and The Social Network 10 times. I think there's more depth to it than that. But
yeah, I maybe wouldn't, but... for me, there's films like... I don't think it's about numbers, I think it's about choice. So there's films like Never Let Me Go, The Town.
I mean, The Town should be in there, without a doubt. Mm. And Affleck should be down for Best Director.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, the King's Speech won. But for me, those five films don't sum up the best films of the year. by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, can I ask you both? You both thought The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo was a great film. Worthy of being in the best film. And since I think it's unfair that they throw out a foreign film and just stick it in its own category.
Well, it always surprised me that if you have other categories where you're talking about a best film, no matter what the criteria is, that they're not in the best film. So, you know, if we're talking about a standard British film, or best film not in the English language, and best animation, shouldn't they all be in the best film?
Yeah, no. Kind of.
Yeah, I was just thinking best animation, maybe not. But for the other ones, yeah, I don't see why not.
But then you go back to that limiting of, well, you know, the best film has got to be made up of these, and I don't know. It doesn't. Those five just don't sit right with me. You can't tell me that they're the best five films out this year. They're probably five of the biggest films that have been out this year, five of the ones that have garnered loads of attention. But best films? No. I don't see it like that at all.
No, I would tend to agree with you. It's not about the number. The same with the Oscars. Look at the Oscars, they've got 10. For me, it's not about the number. It's about the choice of. And it always does. I don't know if there's any way to fix this or whether it's... I don't even know what I'm trying to say there. But, you know, it kind of gets boring that every category tends to have the same films again and again. You know, we've just gone through the awards and it does sound like you're repeating yourself every single category.
Yeah.
And this is why I don't bother with the awards. And half of the time, it's an opinion anyway. And they often go with a popular choice. I mean, I weren't keen on Inception at all, and it's littered throughout these award ceremonies. So even when they pick winners, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to enjoy it.
Mm. However, to be fair, you've been quite happy because Inception hasn't won anything.
It won best money well spent, didn't it?
Best ROI.
And production design. Maybe it stole it off King's Speech and True Grit. And I think it won best screenplay as well, did it not? Oh, no.
Which one? Don't start that argument again. We'll all be chasing our tails.
No, it was the King's Speech that won that.
Okay, so overall view of the BAFTAs this year.
It's the first one I've paid attention to, and it was only because of the, and I've not been paid for this, the live feed on FilmSpotters.
Thanks.
And when that finished, I didn't watch the BAFTAs.
So I'll go next because Mark's been quiet. I tend to, and I've said this a few times now, I tend to really appreciate the BAFTAs. I've always thought that they tend to go more for what is deserving, more for quality over, not quantity, but, well, maybe it is quantity at the box office and of popular opinion. They tend to reward the best in the categories, I find. This year, I'm not so sure. Maybe it's I'm looking at it more critical eye than I have done before. But I think there's a few more popular choices and definitely some, for instance, in Best Film, there's a lot of nominations there that I think are nominees that are missing, to be honest. So it's not the best year. You know, I think stacked up against the Oscars, this is going to be a much fairer one. Mark?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think paying attention to the live feed kind of helps, really, especially as we saw the results just delivered matter-of-factly without all the singing and dancing that kind of comes with them helped. But I don't know. Maybe it's I'm getting old and cynical. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, the past 12 months has seen me watch films that I wouldn't have watched before, you know, thanks to, you know, the audio cast and stuff like that. But I just don't see that as being a fantastic representation of what's been out this year. And that makes me question the validity of the award system. I sound like I'm turning into Stephen, and I don't want to. Sorry, but you know.
Okay, well, that was the BAFTA coverage. Oh no, I was going to say something else about it.
The Harry Potter Award for Harry Potter.
Actually, yes. Sorry, we've missed two. Well, I've kind of already covered that. Not only is it they've just made up an award to say thank you very much to Harry Potter for bringing in so much money to the country. But it's not the last film in the series. And why have they done that? Because the next film comes out very quickly, and it'll be a long way to the next award ceremony, and people have forgotten it. I think that's ridiculous. Toy Story 2 wins an award for the best... I can't say franchise now because you'll get all upset.
Yeah,
the best trilogy. You know, how does that work? You can't... They're saying this whole experience, this whole journey has been the best. Here, have an award. It's not finished. The last one might be completely... the last one might be completely rubbish.
And J.K. Rowling herself has said that, okay, you know, she's finished writing Harry Potter, and I quote, for the time being.
Yeah.
So there may be another film anyway. So it just, it's like school sports day.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it smacks of. Well, you know, little Joey's coming last. We'll give him the award for hard work. just to make him feel good. I'm sorry, but if you're not up there in the best film category, or you're not up there for one of the other awards, that's it. You don't make up a special award. These are the awards that you get.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another reason why I think there should be a franchise sequel, trilogy, duology, whatever award for that kind of thing every year. Because we're getting films, we're getting series like this every year. The other award was, of course, for Sir Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic, actually. His speech wasn't so, but good on him for getting up there and accepting his speech and getting a little emotional, which is just not how you think Christopher Lee would be. But I have to say, why the freak didn't he get a standing ovation?
He did, from the cheap seats.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, that's good then.
Yeah, he did from the cheap seats, but not from a lot of the people down there. And yeah, I asked the same question. I thought it was a bit.
Did he get the award at the end? Was his
yeah.
See, they've been busy patting everybody on the back for the past 2 hours. These are celebrities.
You watch any other like that, you'll see them getting up and stand and doing that ovation. But I wonder if there's a bit of snobbery in there. You know, Chris Lee's not a real actor. He's just Dracula and stuff like that. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, thanks for saying that. I totally agree. That's insane. I mean, for a start, he's a better actor than a lot of the people sitting down there in expensive seats. And he's done more. And he's done more for British cinema and cinema in general. No, you just can't knock him. You cannot.
No. I thought that was the most deserving award of the night.
Yeah. But yeah, so overall, the coverage was quite good on telly. Apart from the last thing I'm going to complain about is how they decide that the lesser awards, like the ones we've just missed out because we didn't have much to say about them, don't get shown in the show. Yeah, I've just realised my double standards there. they're not worthy to be shown in the show, so rather than have the guts to cut them out totally, they montage them at the end, just so everyone that announced them gets shown on telly.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Just show the whole thing and show it live. Don't delay it by 4 hours or whatever.
That is rubbish, I have to say. You know, and even the press feed who was it that did it for Film Stalker went to? Even that was delayed, wasn't it?
Yeah. Age went to cover the red carpet for us. He got the red carpet live, and they were supposed to go and get a live feed from the event, so it didn't quite work out as planned. Yeah, I don't understand why they don't do that. They should just put the show on live.
Yeah.
Make it a big event like the Oscars. But apart from that, that was the Film Stalker Film Club coverage of the BAFTA winners. All right, so it's thanks again to Stephen and Mark for joining me and arguing, as always. It's a pleasure. And we'll see you all next time, which I think we're reverting back to some rounds of actually film watching and reviewing, which will be interesting. We've done that for a while. All right, so it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. This is where I press the button, and we hope it records. I've totally lost
it's rapper seed.
It's what?
I don't know. Rapper seed. I'm making it up, obviously.
Rapper seed? What are you talking about?
I thought you were about the girl in the rat. How you say the girl with the dragon tattoo's name?
Oh no, I was stuck on Hayley Steinfeld.
Hey.